passion for the planet, sound publishing,
the environment, health, alternative solutions.
I'm Chantal Cook. Dr. Irene Pepperberg has devoted the last 30 years of her life to studying the communicative and cognitive abilities of African grey parrots. So what has her research with the parrots Alex, Griffin and Arthur shown her?
Basically that these birds have the intellectual capacity of a 5 to 6 year old child and the emotional capacity of about a 2.5 year old.
How do you assess that?
In terms of emotional capacity, it's very subjective. In terms of the intellectual capacity, we give the bird the same types of tasks that you give these children, and because the bird can talk to us using English speech sounds, there's very easy ways of making the comparisons.
How do you know that they're not just following a sort of parrot fashion, for want of a better expression?
All of the tests we give them require them to understand our questions. So, for example, I'll show Alex two keys. But it's not simply what's here, it's what's here, how many key, what color bigger, what color smaller, what's same, what's different, what matter bigger, what matters smaller. And he has to understand all those questions in order to answer them appropriately.
Do you have to teach him that information in the beginning, or does he kind of know that stuff anyway?
Everything is taught because he's not a native English speaker, so that we have to teach him all these things, but it transfers very easily. We always teach him using a small subset of items, and then we test him on everything in the laboratory, or we go to a toy store and buy all sorts of new things he's never seen before and use that for testing.
Now, is it just one parrot, or in fact, can you replicate this with lots and lots of grey parrots?
We're working on replicating it with some other parrots. We spent a lot of time actually doing studies on the training technique itself, which is why the younger parrots have had training that didn't really work very well, because we had to test to see if it would or not.
And why do you think it's important to test that as well? I mean, does it really matter if the grey parrots can talk to us like that?
It does, because people like to be able to communicate with other animals, and it's a very efficient way of examining their intelligence. And I think there's something very striking when you see this little creature with a brain the size of a shelled walnut being able to communicate with you. I think it really has an effect on the way people view animals.
Now, do you think it's something particular about grey parrots, or do you think it's actually all birds?
Well, we know that the grey parrots speak very clearly, and I haven't studied other types of parrots. There are not that many birds that will learn human speech. There are some corvids that do, and some emetic birds like the starlings that do.
Bearing in mind the results of your research, how do you think that should at least change the way in which we perceive these animals and the way in which we treat them?
I think it means that we really need to look at them as sentient beings, as beings that are deserving of rights and interactions, and that we can't just simply, you know, lock them in the cage and treat them as decoration in our living rooms, which is what people used to treat them as.
While you're doing the research with the grey parrots, do you get any sense from them as well whether they're actually enjoying the research? I mean, yes, I understand that it's important, but actually, are they having fun while you're doing it?
I think they really have fun at the beginning of all of our studies. Alex will go through the first 10 or 12 trials, I mean, just zipping through, and he's really, you know, enjoying it seemingly because he's acting right away and he's very interested. And then when I have to start collecting all the data for statistical significance is when he starts losing interest and asking to go back into his cage and things like that. And I would love it if I could publish my papers just based on those first, you know, 12 trials, but I can't. So we tend to try to do things the way you would do with a child. Now, if we do this for a little while, you know, then you can do that. It's the same thing as a little child going to school. I don't think you'd get any, you know, sixth grader to say, oh, I really love school every day. You'd get them to say, oh, this is particularly interesting, but then it gets boring. And you have the same thing with the birds.
It seems as well that just the very fact that the bird feels boring is telling us something as well.
Of course, that's telling you a lot about his intellect. I mean, there was one point we did a thing for BBC Horizon many years ago. We're filming it, and the student says, you know, what's this? And he says, corn. And she says, what color? And he goes, want corn. And she says, well, tell me the color. And he goes, want corn. And they go through this for a moment or two, and then he says, I'm going to go away. And he just walks. And that was really a striking thing to show to people.
Do you think it's really, really important that you choose animals that can vocalise human speech to understand this? Or in fact, there are other ways of getting the same kind of information but without the human speech?
I'm sure there are other ways. I think it's just incredibly striking that the bird can talk. And that's why I chose to work with birds. Certainly people are doing the same types of work with dolphins. They're doing this with sea lions. They're doing it with chimpanzees, with gorillas, with orangutans. I don't think speech is a critical issue, but it's just so striking.
That's Dr. Irene Pepperberg from the Alex Foundation, and there are lots more interviews available on demand at passionfortheplanet.com.
This is a Passion for the Planet sound publication. For more information about Passion for the Planet sound publishing, visit passionfortheplanet.com.